This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and this is Housing Connections Part 1. I'm your host, Jim Burke. We are discussing what is a comprehensive housing plan and why does Port Townsend need one, and it features Kim Herman, Peggy Webster, and Naushard Cotter. This is Jim Burke, news producer at KPTZ. Today we're talking about housing and the comprehensive housing plan in Port Townsend. Do we need one or not? I think we do. I'm talking today with Kim Herman, who is the former executive director of the Washington State Housing Finance Commission for 35 years before his retirement. While practicing retirement, Kim is lending over 45 years of affordable housing expertise to Washington communities like Port Townsend with local efforts supporting Housing Solutions Network. Peggy Webster, another panelist, is a Port Townsend resident and affordable housing advocate. Peggy has 35 years private sector experience in risk management and reinsurance. Her passion stems from 9 years with Baltimore City and the Housing Authority working on the financing and development of affordable housing. Today, Peggy sits on a number of local housing-related boards, but is here to aid in the housing discussion as a concerned resident with a lot of experience. Naushard Cotter is a resident of Port Townsend. Mr. Cotter is a trained chartered accountant, equivalent to American CPA with Academic Merit Prize and American Certified Internal Auditor, CIA. Mr. Cotter graduated from the Harvard's Kennedy School with an advanced degree in public policy and administration, focusing on policy leadership and business and government. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming to the forum.
Happy to be here.
Hello.
Okay. Happy to be here.
All right. So I'm going to start asking the questions, and it's really up to you. Whoever wants to start can start, and then anyone else who wants to chime in can chime in. What is a comprehensive, affordable housing strategy? Kim, you want to start us off?
Yes. A comprehensive, affordable housing strategy is first of all, helps starting by identifying the needs, what the local resources are, what programs might be available, gathering a variety of different information about housing in the community, and then developing a plan for the development of both affordable rental housing for people with incomes, for example, if they're low income, under 80% of area median income, or if they're middle income and workforce housing, maybe up to 150% of area median income, and then developing the strategy for the production and ownership or rental of those units, hopefully in perpetuity in the local area.
Peggy?
I think and the key component of such a plan is understanding your needs. Mm-hmm. And getting good data. That's a little bit difficult here, but that's what we have to do.
Okay. And Naushard, do you have anything to contribute to this question?
Oh, these are good definitions. Thank you,
Kim
and Peggy. I think these are very technical definitions. Housing crisis is a common thing in the U.S., in many municipalities, many cities, and across Europe as well now. Mm-hmm. I think it begs us to ask what kind of society that we want to live in, who we are, particularly in Port Townsend. How do we want to make this place inclusive, a place everyone wants to live but can live? Mm-hmm. And what sort of social contract that we can have with each other and with the society? I think that would put us to think about then what's the comprehensive housing strategy is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Of course, if we make it too nice, won't everyone want to come here, and do we want that?
Of course, I think, definitely, I think we want everyone to come. I don't think everyone is going to come.
Yeah.
You know, there are other places.
But I think, unfortunately, true.
I think we think, like, everyone is going to come. People from Manhattan leave everything out and come to Port Townsend. I think we have got something. We haven't got it right.
Okay.
But we can ask ourselves, what kind of society that we want to live in?
What's interesting is in 2015, there was a full study, and in 2016, in the current comprehensive plan for the city of Port Townsend, there is a whole chapter on affordable housing and how to develop it and the statistics that were developed at that point. And there is a strategy in that current comprehensive plan, which is due for updating, but there was a housing strategy in the plan developed in 2016. The problem is, it wasn't implemented.
You have to want to do it.
Oh, and but who, Peggy? That's a good question. Who should want to do it? Go ahead, Peggy. You were saying
your elected representatives and your governments have to want to do it, and it's not just talking about it.
The point I was going to make is the city council and the staff and the people that, and probably the planning commission that wrote the plan in 2015 and published it in 2016 are not the same people that are here today.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's part of life and the changes in government, but it's interesting that there was a strategy for comprehensive affordable housing developed in 2016.
Okay. Nishar, I think you had something there. What was it?
Yeah, so I think we have a weak form of legislatures in this town and a strong form of administrator.
Oh, okay.
That's how many cities are designed that way.
Right, with the city manager administering everything.
Right.
And the departments, but the legislation is the city council,
which is quite weak, actually, usually. Oh. That's how they have designed it. For some reason, it started in Cambridge in 1600, right? Because I think people who came here realized that we have to keep this power, you know, a little bit balanced.
Well, John Morrow, the city manager, he told me that the city manager's job is to implement the policy of city council. City council sets the policy, and then his job is to administer those departments that he's in charge of to do those things.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense a little bit, but city council, it's not fully, you know, it's not a paid city council compared to New York City, for example.
Right.
Right. So what happens is the time they spend on policy decisions and deliberations are very limited. So I think that makes it a little harder for the city manager as well.
Right. Peggy.
I would use the recent exercise in changing the zoning code.
Yes.
For infill.
Right.
All of the work was done in the planning department.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to the planning commission to kind of say yay, nay.
Right.
They even wrote the memo for the planning commission to send to city council.
Okay.
So I'm pretty, it would appear that it's the planning department that is driving this train.
Okay. That makes
sense. An example.
No, that's a good one.
But
that's a good one.
But within that, I mean, for one thing, they're short a planner that they're a senior planner that they're planning on hiring in the future. So they've been limited in terms of capacity. And then second, as you know, in any organization, once something gets assigned to a group of people, they can help it move forward or they can delay it to a certain degree too. So just because it was given to them to do doesn't mean that it necessarily got done right away or that the city council or planning council got to spend as much time as they wanted.
Right.
Particularly, I would say this effort has to be finished by April 1st.
Right. There's a deadline.
Because of the state law
that
is making it, after April 1st, everybody will be able to have a say or something like that?
You can get sued.
Yeah.
We can get sued. The city can get sued.
And objections, that's a problem. Objections can be filed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys have all three of you have actually started to answer the next question, which is why is a comprehensive affordable housing strategy needed for Port Townsend? So let's just cover that. Like, what is the city's need for that based on the people who live here?
Well, let me just, you know, I started working here about 3 weeks ago. Since then, I've met a waitress that served us dinner, who she and her husband are leaving because their rent was just raised. They can't afford to live in the city anymore, and they can't find an affordable rental. I've been told a story by a reputable real estate person of another realtor who happens to be living in his car at this point in time because he can't afford to rent in town. The hospital has a whole, 20 or 30 jobs that they can't fill because people can't come here and buy a house and live as a family. So, those are just real life situations which demonstrate that there's a real need here for the development of affordable housing.
Peggy?
So if you go to the other end of that kind of discussion, the state of Washington just published this morning the numbers and the demographics for needs in every county over the next, I think it's 5 years, 10 years, I can't remember exactly. But for our county, it's 3,100 units of affordable housing.
3,100
units
are needed.
Needed.
In this county, in
Jefferson this county. Over the next.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, when you look at Seventh Haven, the 44
yeah, right.
It took 7 years to produce that.
Right. And who knows how long Evans Vista will take.
So at this rate, we're a long way from 3,100 units.
Right, okay. I understand. Nishard, what do you have?
Yesterday, Governor Inslee was in Skagit Valley, and he made a very important announcement. He said, we should go big on solving housing crisis in Washington State.
Yeah.
So that action, you know, actually gives us really good space for us to do something innovative,
right?
Something much more effective.
He's asked the legislature to approve a referendum vote, which would, if it's passed by the people, would authorize borrowing by the state to produce $4 billion over 5 years to be used across the state for affordable housing development.
Which would be fantastic. One of the things that I keep coming across in my head and what I read online, God help me, is the fact that there's people all across the country who are moving out and into various communities because there's a mudslide coming down on their house, or the hillside next to their house is burning, or there are floods where they live, or tornadoes year-round instead of just during the summertime. Port Townsend seems pretty nice by comparison to a lot of those places. In fact, the Northwest in general feels that way. But Nishad, you by mentioning the state thing, I think it also begs the question, shouldn't there be a federal program that actually is going to help people relocate and find housing wherever they go across the country for the next 30 or 40 years? Because climate change is real, and we're not going to be able to just move around to get away from it unless we all move to Canada. I don't think they want us.
But actually, federal government is, you know, they have passed several acts, a couple of them, CHIPS and Science Act, for $50 billion
right.
to invest within the U.S., Recompete, Inflation Reduction Act, and the Infrastructure Bill.
Right.
The tons of money that are being designated for the next 10 years for us to develop this country so that we can be competitive and we can still be leaders in the world.
Right.
And that can be, in different forms, be utilized. It's just when they have a factory developed for chips.
Right, right.
You need housing.
Right. And then people also get living wage jobs and they start.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think we are in this.
So we rebuild the middle class.
Middle class. I think we're in this really good pivotal moment in the history of America to do that after a long time. And I think this is a good time for us to, you know, take part in it.
One of the issues for Port Townsend is the fact that for workforce housing, you know, I mentioned the hospital, but we've also talked to the Maritime Association. I understand it here now is thinking about buying an old hotel at the house.
They already have. Workers. They bought the Swan Hotel.
Right. And so consequently, I mean, to have a private sector have to go out and buy a building to house their workers begins to say, you know, there's a problem here with
well, the fact yeah, that and part of that is because they wanted to have. They also they have workshops and classes all summer long, and they also want to provide places for people to stay while they're working here or while they're actually coming and doing workshops and things like that at the Northwest Maritime Center, Peggy.
Not to rattle any cages, but the former commissioner of housing in Baltimore used to say there are two ways to address affordable housing. One is government subsidy to offset the cost. And the second is to pay people more money.
Right.
So employers should be at the table.
Right, right. The third forum in this series is actually with some local employers. Now, they might not be local employers with deep pockets. One of them is the hospital. So that's some money there. Another is Edensaw Woods, which is not necessarily deep pockets. East Jefferson Fire Rescue, not deep pockets, a public organization or a public, in service of the public.
We just should keep that idea.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah, it makes sense. This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, and you are listening to Housing Connections Part 1, featuring Kim Herman, Peggy Webster, and Naushard Cotter. The next question, who should be involved in the development of an affordable housing strategy, and which you've already touched on. So who else should be involved besides employers?
Well, you need employers, you need the government, the local community, you need the people that are going, you know, nonprofit organizations that often own and manage affordable housing. You need contractors, you need realtors. The general citizenship should be involved in helping decide how the strategy gets developed. Right. And they're going to live in the community. So it's really, to gather the information, you need to talk to a lot of different people. And then, of course, to get the housing built, developed, and built and managed, you start narrowing it down to people who are in that business, either for-profits or not-for-profits, in terms of ownership, management, or for the sale of housing. Hopefully, if it's home ownership, it's got a deed restriction like a being done by the some of the different groups so that it stays perpetually affordable when it gets sold.
You do need people who know how to finance it. You can make all the pretty plans you want, but you need to find the money.
Naushard, can you find us the money?
Yeah, the money is not a problem, actually. We can find it.
Oh, fantastic. What are you doing later?
We can go home now.
Money is not a problem, but the thing is that for us to, affordability, what is affordability, right? To whom? And what kind of affordability?
How do we define that?
Yeah, it's ownership affordability, whether somebody can own the house, or it's a rental affordability. Mm-hmm. And whom that is to be affordable? A person who is, a worker, a young worker, a young family, or who is a retired person? Who? Whom we are trying to solve that problem for? These two questions needs to be answered. We are just talking about affordability, but we are not going down and see, what does that affordability means?
But you're just raising good issues about the kind of thing we need to do to develop a strategy, because we need to identify the different needs within the community. How many people are wanting to come here and work that may be single and need rental housing? How many people that are here already here in the community that would love to own a home, but they can't afford it? How many seniors would like to retire in the area, so we need more senior housing? Mm-hmm. So
if that's the case, how long does it take to develop an affordable housing strategy? How many years?
No. It can't take years.
Well, let me make...
Okay.
Here's something you have to understand, and it's so simple that many people go over it for a minute. What I told the Housing Solutions Network when they first talked to me about it is, before you can even talk about affordable housing, you've got to have a piece of land. Who controls the land? And so that becomes a key issue. And that right now, Evans Vista, the city, owns a piece of property that can provide a location for both home ownership and affordable rental. Mm-hmm. But if you can make all the plans in the world, but if you don't go out there and buy a piece of property, you can't build that housing. So that's a key piece that has to be answered, is how do we get a hold of that property? Either borrowing money to buy it, or, getting it from the city, because they've got a development.
Well, if Evans Vista, is it possible that Evans Vista is now being developed using assumptions from 10 years ago?
Well, they have
I'm
said,
not sure they're using any assumptions.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
I would say if you go on the city's website, there's about 3 pages describing what they want to do with Evans Vista, and low-income housing and workforce housing are front and center in that presentation. Mm-hmm. The question is, are they going to follow what they've said they're going to do? And they should. That's what we're pushing them to do.
And I would add to Kim that it's buildable land. You have to have the infrastructure.
Right.
And they're still working on financing the infrastructure there.
Right.
But without that, you're not going to get very far.
But do we know exactly how much land is owned by the city?
Yes.
Do we have it stock?
And I
how
have
much
an inventory.
Yeah, you have an inventory. And the land owned by the county.
The county has an inventory also.
Inventory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So within that, do we know, what's the cost of making that land buildable?
Well, I can tell you there isn't much owned by the city before Evans Vista. But
there's more owned by the county.
One that, not to open a wound, Cherry Street.
Oh,
That is owned by the city.
Anybody who's listening probably knows about that one.
Right. And the only other possible one is actually next to a cemetery, and there's probably archaeological problems in building there. Mm-hmm. And the rest is not buildable. Okay. So now, the school district has land, and I don't know how much they have or where they have it.
We're sitting on it.
Right.
We're in Mountain View Commons right now.
But there's other school district land around.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So
there is,
that should be an inventory we should get to.
And if we had an affordable housing strategy, how would we use it?
Well, again, as I said, there was an affordable housing strategy developed in 2016 in the Comprehensive Plan, Chapter 5.
Right.
And what you would use the Comprehensive Plan to look at is, again, what kind of housing do you need? What kind of land do you need to develop that kind of housing? Mm-hmm. Who's going to develop it and own it and manage it? Who's going to finance it and, you know, give the financing to have it done? Mm-hmm. And then who's going to carry out all of those things?
Right. And then who's going to be able to live in it?
Yes. And who's going to be able to live in it?
Yeah.
Yes. And you should know how many people there are that need it before you start. That's one of the first things you look at the strategy.
Are there
and the city and the government should have to report on a regular basis. I'm going to say 6 months. What have you done in this 6 months?
Every 6 months?
What have you done?
Yeah. And the thing about the population, interesting, because we just had the census. Is Port Townsend growing? Does anybody here know that?
1.9% from 21 to 22.
Okay. Yeah. And is it? Do you think, just offhand, do you think it'll continue to?
You know what? Go ahead.
It's hard to predict. Yeah. One, because there's no housing.
Right.
How do you move out here if they can't find a place that you can affordably live?
Well, one of the things is there is...
Port Hadlock is getting some affordable housing.
Right,
yeah.
and a new sewer system.
Right, yeah. There's a 17-acre site that Habitat is developing.
And that's going to be about 200 units of housing?
No, we're just doing the RFP. I'm actually on the panel.
Oh.
We're just doing the RFP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So between 150 and 250,
yeah,
maybe?
Maybe
units?
An elderly multifamily.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that the statistics that I read and hear is that Port Townsend actually had lost population when they were doing the 2015-2016 study. So the fact that they've gained is a turnaround, but not a huge turnaround that, 1.9.
Okay.
But I also think we could consider putting signs at Hood Canal there that says earthquake and tsunami zone, just in case.
I guess I have a question. So the 2016 plan, there's that. But then in 2019 and 2020, of course, COVID came.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of people who might have had a second home here and lived in Seattle or Portland or some other Northwest city, but then they moved here during the pandemic because there was no place to go and they could work remotely. And now they're continuing to work remotely. And so they've sold their house in Seattle or Portland or wherever it is, and they've taken the cash and they're sitting on it and they're going to stay. Does that affect the housing inventory? And is there an increased number of empty houses, second homes here, or is there a decreased number of empty houses?
The only empty houses are uninhabitable.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Peggy, I had a question. Within Port Townsend or in Jefferson County, do we know what's the square foot rental price? Per square foot, and do we know per square foot cost of construction of house?
Well, we were quoted recently the cost of construction would be $500 a square foot.
Yeah.
And the rental per square foot?
I don't have that.
I know.
Or $2?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of data we should get.
So without this data, how can we develop a comprehensive housing strategy?
We
don't have data. Without data, I don't think we can come up with a policy.
Well, that's the first part of developing a strategy is the fact
exactly.
You have to collect it.
Yeah.
Your point's well taken. Yeah.
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 When are you going to get on that?
No, but my question is, so who is developing this? Is it planning commissioners are paid or are the volunteers?
Well,
do they have policy expertise in this?
Well, the Housing Fund Board is working on this as a subcommittee to get groups together for each of the components, so for emergency and transitional, for permanent supportive, for low income, for workforce, And those groups will be charged with going out and getting the data. What do we have and mm-hmm. what do we need?
Okay.
So, but coming back to your point earlier, I chair an HOA in town, and one of the things we noticed, in addition to people from Seattle coming here and going full-time, what we found, we had about 23 units of rental about 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and we now have five.
Oh, wow.
They all got sold to homeowners.
Oh.
People cashing in mm-hmm. and
sure.
taking the money. So our sure. rental product, just anecdotally, appears to have dwindled, and that's part of the pinch we have right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
The other thing is, we need a strategy. The comprehensive plan is due to be rewritten during this coming year once the city hires a new senior planner. But we don't have time to wait for that. We need to develop the strategy plan before that and get some housing underway. Particularly, we have the opportunity with the land, which the city owns at Evans Vista, mm-hmm. that they've already said they're going to use for low-income and workforce housing, part of it.
Yeah.
And so we need to start developing this strategy now, so we can, starting with Evans Vista and then moving on. But
And you have the Habitat project, Port Hadlock, yeah, right, Mason
right,
Street.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But the city will go through the process over the next year to revise the comprehensive plan, which does have the housing element in it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll probably end up telling them what it is.
could be.
Something in the walks.
The other important fact that I think we have to think about it, who is providing those housing, right? Is it city? Is it co-ops? Right. It is low-profit organizations, non-profit organizations, high-profit organizations.
If you're going to have permanent affordability, it's probably going to have to be owned by non-profit organizations, or they're going to have to be involved, because the for-profits will do it for a period of 40 or 50 years, but eventually they'll want to sell out, or they can sell it during the 40 or 50 years to get their money back. But if you want to have it permanently affordable, it really belongs under the ownership and management of a nonprofit organization or a public housing authority, something like that.
But it certainly can be developed by profit developers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Is there any good news? Yeah, guys have anything?
Oh,
that's good news. I have a good news, actually.
Okay.
I think Port Towns can solve this problem.
That sounds good. That sounds encouraging.
Well,
and
you've got the Housing Solution Network that's working on it.
Yes.
And there are people in the city that are interested in it. And so we've been meeting with members of the Planning Commission and the City Council, and there are people who are interested in moving forward to begin to solve the problem.
I'm so glad you guys came here. And thanks to Housing Solutions Network for helping to put this panel together. Also, thanks to Chris Bricker, my engineer, Taylor Clark. Thank you, Peggy Webster, Kim Herman, and Nashad Cotter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting us.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Housing Connections Part 1. And my thanks to my guests, Kim Herman, Peggy Webster, and Nashad Cotter. Housing Connections Part 2 is next. Stay tuned.